headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they really love, and create actual amazing relationships. George Camel, Ramsey personality, host of The Fine Print on Ramsey Networks, is my co-host today. Open phones here at 888-825-5225. Nancy's in Orlando to start off this hour. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hey there, Dave and George. Fine, thank you. And thank you for my call.
Sure. What's up?
My husband and I are in baby step 7, and we want to set the goal of being baby step millionaires, but I don't know how to establish our current net worth. We primarily off of his post office pension, but since it's not a liquid lump sum, I'm guessing we can't include it. So I can't determine a per month investment goal because the RIQ process doesn't include the pension or a paid for home. So I don't know where to start.
Ah, very cool. Well, you're right. Technically speaking, a pension is not part of your net worth because you can't sell it or you can't cash it out and use it. And so it's just a stream of income that's promised to you. In other words, Social Security is not part of my net worth, but I'll be getting Social Security someday, right? So it's the same thing. But because net worth is assets minus liabilities. But that's not really your issue. I mean, it's fun for you to keep up with your net worth. And, you know, you've got a, when you have a baby steps, when you're a baby steps millionaire, you have $1 million net worth. And on top of that, have this pension, life's going to be pretty sweet, you know? So what you're looking at is just your 401k and your house and, you know, what you own minus what you owe is the thing. And then as far as calculating it, what your need is, you know, you just basically say, figure out what it is I'm going to need per month and working in your RIQ, and then take the pension out of that because you got the pension. So if your need is $5,000 a month and you got $3,000 worth of pension, then your net need is $2,000. That makes sense?
Hmm. Yes. With us both in our 60s, I don't know that we'll live long enough to actually hit millionaire status.
Be an optimist, Nancy.
What's your house worth?
probably $300.
Okay. And what's in your 401k?
We have only... our IRAs with the SmartVestor Pro 32K.
Okay. All right. So you've got a $300,000, $350,000 net worth probably, right? You have other assets we're not discussing here?
No.
Okay. And are you both working still?
Yes.
And what's your household income?
Oh, good question. I would say 55.
Okay. It just depends on how long you live. You'll probably get there in your 70s somewhere if you continue if you continue to save pretty aggressively, because the house is going to go up in value and you're going to continue to add to a 401k. That's assuming you're working and adding money to it. Now, if you quit work at 62, you're probably not going to get there.
Yeah.
But it's okay if you don't. It's okay if you don't. The $1 million net worth is not a magic thing. It's just a measure of net worth. That's all it is. And so the question of, is it enough? Well, what's your pension going to pay you?
Oh, we can already live off the pension.
What's the pension going to pay you?
The issue is, we're getting 24-6, and then he's already taking SSI, and I'm holding off until age 70.
I'm sorry, you broke up when you gave me the number. How much are you getting?
Oh, I'm sorry. His pension's $2,460, and then he's currently getting his Social Security. I won't take mine until I'm 70.
$2,460 a month?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you got a nice pension plus your social or your SSI and stuff. And so, you guys can make it on that. So you're not in trouble. It's just kind of a math game. It's a monopoly game now.
It's a fun milestone along the journey, but can you have a great retirement and not get there? Sure. Can you have a terrible one depending on your lifestyle and what's going on? Absolutely.
If you want to spend $60,000 a year, you're going to have a terrible one.
Yes. So we'll have to adjust your
expectations. You're not in shape to do that. But if you'll keep your income, your lifestyle below your pension income, and continue to save and grow the other stuff, then, you could end up with a lot of situation there.
Which goes along with our original principle, live on less than you make. That applies in baby step 1 and 7.
There you go.
It's a key principle. And we do have a great net worth calculator at RamseySolutions.com that if you're listening and you're curious, you can jump on there and it'll add up all the assets, it'll add up all the liabilities and do the math for you.
Joe is in Fresno, except I pushed the wrong button. There, Joe is in Fresno. How are you, Joe?
I am doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
Well, my wife is here to keep the story straight, but simply...
Because Joe's known for exaggerating.
Joe's attorney is present.
We just retired. We were both in education, and our income together is about $6,000 a month. And we live in a house that is worth roughly around $500,000, and we owe about $268,000. And so we're in the valley of decision on, do we spend the money to fix it up, kind of what I want, and then my wife is saying, the heck with it. Let's sell it and go buy another house. So she's saying, is it going to be better for us to fix it up and live in it, or do we cut loose on it and go find maybe a smaller house? We're empty nesters. Like I said, we're retired and just trying to figure things out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the answer to the question, if it was my house, is what's going to be the... How old are you today?
I am 61.
Okay. What's going to be the best story when you're 71? Which one of these plans gets you the best life when you're 71? The fixed-up house and you stayed in it, or the downsize into a newer house and you didn't have to screw with the repairs?
That's a good question.
That's the answer to the question, is which one gives you the best life? Because oftentimes what happens is these things get so close to our face that we're making a decision based on the emotions of the next 12 months rather than the next 12 years. And the 12-year window will give you a better decision-making paradigm.
Right.
What kind of repairs are we talking, Joe? Have you done the math, and what's this going to cost?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to cost about maybe... $30,000, which, you know, being in education, I've decided that I can go back and become a sub teacher. And if I work it, I could probably make that much money in a year and, you know, get all those little things that she wants done.
Mm-hmm. And it still won't be the right house and be perfect.
Well, no, when it's done, why is it that she wants to move if she didn't like it when it was done?
That's a good question. I think some of it is that she wants to move into a little smaller house because she's, we're empty nesters and wanted a little small house, maybe easier to clean. Who knows?
I think you have your answer, Joe. You just answered it.
Happy wife, happy life.
This ain't the house.
This is the Ramsey Show. George Camel, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. What's your one-day goal? Maybe one day I'll be able to buy a house. Maybe one day I'll be happy with my career. One day I won't have to battle with anxiety anymore. One day I'll be out of debt. Stop waiting around. Whatever your one day is, you need to start towards it right now. And that's why we created Smart Conference. Smart Conference is a full-day event where you will hear from best-selling authors on anxiety, on careers, on money, on leadership, on marriage, the top people in the nation all day long in every area of your life. It's only $39, and you can get a four-pack for only $120 and bring some friends. You can't get a concert ticket. I just saw a thing where Adele was $40,000 to get in. So Yikes. The tickets are going. So, I mean, you could buy out the whole Smart Conference for that, just about.
Your Ticketmaster fees are more than $40.
Yeah, so $120, and you don't have Ticketmaster with us.
We are our own Ticketmaster.
We are our own master. That's right. We master our own tickets. Thank you very
much. None of those janky fees.
RamseySolutions.com/events. The Smart Conference is in Dallas, Saturday, October 22nd. We're glad you're coming. Several That's thousand fun. Of you are already registered, and it only holds like, I think it was 7,000 people's all, so
right.
It will be a sellout early, and you will need to get your tickets now if you want to go. Well, George, one of the things that happens in a world gone crazy is that people decide they're going to just change the definitions of things. That's called relativism, and you can just decide a new definition of a thing.
By people, do you mean the White House?
Today, it was
okay,
the White House.
There we go.
They decided they wanted to redefine because they're the White House, and they can do that. They get to decide that what we all thought something was, what we've been taught in every class that we've ever gone to that something was, that it is not that thing.
To be fair, John Delaney wrote a book called Redefining Anxiety.
See, there it is.
He redefined it.
He decided. But when he finished, it was still anxiety, I'll tell you that.
That's
okay,
right.
So...
So here's a real article from whitehouse.gov.
From the White House website.
How do economists determine whether the economy is in a recession? There's the headline. And what does it go on to say, Dave? This is very interesting.
What is a recession? While some maintain that two consecutive quarters of falling real GDP constitute a recession, that is neither the official definition nor the way economists evaluate the state of the business cycle. Let me just stop you right there. Bull! Every Econ 101 class in the United States that was not taught by the Biden administration has defined a recession since God was a boy as two consecutive shrinking quarters of the GDP. Bull! Okay, now let me just make sure I got that straight.
It goes on to say, instead, both official determinations of recessions and economists' assessment of economic activity are based on a holistic look at the data, including labor market, consumer and business spending, industrial production, and incomes. Based on these data, it is unlikely that the decline in GDP in the first quarter of this year, even if followed by another decline in the second quarter, indicates a recession.
If the economy continues to shrink, it must not be a recession because we decided it wasn't a recession. I am dumber for having read this paragraph. Brain cells died while I read this paragraph.
How did someone write this in good conscience and good faith?
Well, they write word salads up there all the time.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. This is a political word salad.
Yeah, explain why they're doing this, because there's a very clear reason to me.
Well, it's classic politics. I mean, you remember when Bill Clinton said we had to define the word is?
That's right.
It's,
it depends on what your definition
is. Depends on what you mean by is.
Is.
Depends on what you mean by recession. Well, I actually mean a recession. Two consecutive quarters of the GDP shrinking. And that's not a Republican or Democrat thing. That's just a thing. It's called economics.
That's just Merriam-Webster's opinion,
like
Dave.
Overdrawn on your checking account. Well, unless I decide I don't really want to call it that, I kind of feel like I'm getting good use of the bank's money.
That's right.
And
was the money really there?
A holistic approach to your checking account involves overdraft fees and... A holistic approach to your student loan is that you keep it your whole stupid life. Holistic? What are you, a witch doctor? Holistic economics. This is a whole new way of getting at this.
There's going to be a college course about this very topic.
Oh, my God.
So the real reason is
Is politics. Okay, we're going in the midterm elections, and the last thing that the Democratic White House wants is for the Republicans to run around saying we're in a recession because we actually freaking are, and so they throw a bunch of Democrats out of office. That's all it is. They just don't want to be in a recession going into these midterms.
So this is all PR.
And so they have to change the definition of recession.
This is 1,000% a PR move.
Political BS? Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, so, yeah, it depends on what your definition of red is. Blue, green. I wonder what the definition is. Is this a blue shirt? Oh, I know. Holistically looking at the shirt, it has some little black lines in it.
That's right.
And I decided it's going to identify as a black shirt today instead of a blue shirt. So there you go.
And I'm colorblind.
We're not going to identify this as a recession. I'm going to self-identify it as prosperity.
Maybe the White House is economically colorblind. There we go. That's one. It's one reason.
There's so many things I can
say
to that not going to say.
Interesting article. If you want to get dumber, go read it for yourself at whitehouse.com.
Oh, God, I feel like I really have. This is like the 70s were good to the person whose parents wrote this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Their parents were had drug use.
Choices were made at Woodstock.
While they were doing drugs, and that person wrote this paragraph. Oh, my God.
Wow.
LSD was involved. I'm just saying. Oh, my gosh. This makes no sense. I don't care. I mean, listen, if Trump was going into a recession, we're going into a recession. I don't care who put you there. I'm not even sure we're in one. I thought we were going into one. I at least can tell you that based on the data that will come out this week,
yep,
you should get the data this week, that the second quarter may not have shrunk. So this may all be for nothing.
So what actually happens?
But I'm just offended that we get to redefine these terms to the convenience of a politician.
And if we are or are not in a recession, does
depends
it
on how you define is.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
You can't define R until you've defined is.
I'm going to walk around with a dictionary from now on. It's the only way.
Well,
Dave.
It's relativism, because you have to do critical thinking that isn't really thinking.
There's no source of truth
anymore.
It's
just critical.
Oh, boy.
You people.
This is exhausting.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Let's just pretend that when the data comes out this week that we had two consecutive quarters of the economy shrinking. Here's what we do pretty much know, that it just barely shrunk. And if it didn't shrink, it just barely grew. It basically is right around even, which means it's not prosperous, but we're not all going to hell in a handbasket.
So it's okay? Not going to be a hurricane
so
tomorrow. If
we're not prospering. It's not a good economy, but it's not a horrible hurricane. We're all going to die recession either. We know that. Even if it is a recession, it's just not that much of one. It's kind of a light rain, not even a good thunderstorm.
Come on.
And so that people are running around with their helmets on because the tornado is coming. But the to Biden or the Democrats' defense, the Republicans are going to make a whole lot more deal out of the recession than it really is.
The headlines on their side will make it feel
you're going
like
to die
it's
and
over.
It's Joe Biden's fault. That's what they're going to do, right? That's not true either, okay? Because it's just not that bad. It's not that stinky of a recession. But it's nothing to walk around bragging about, and it's nothing to be so concerned about that you have to redefine terms, because we now know that the Democratic Party does not know the definition of is or the definition of a recession, because they change it at will.
I just want a fake book cover of John Delaney, and it says Redefining Recessions. Oh, just God. As a spoof.
Just yeah. We
gotta, someone's going to do it now. They're going to send it to
bring that back for April. So the deal is you don't get to redefine a word to fit your agenda, boys and girls. Well, you can, and some of you have pulled it off. Some of you have taken words and they mean completely other things now because of your activism and your areas that you're in. But here's one that, well, not going to work this time.
1 + 1 = 2. Can't change that. Sorry.
It's just two consecutive quarters of GDP shrink is a recession. Sorry, Joe. Not getting by with that word salad. This is the Ramsey Show. Of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Joe and Jordan are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Dave?
Welcome. Welcome. Better than I deserve. Where do you live?
Quincy, Michigan. So we're about 40 minutes southeast of Battle Creek.
Perfect. Hey, good to have you guys. Welcome to Nashville. How much debt have you paid off?
$265,000.
Good for you. And how long did that take?
5 years, 4 months and 13 days.
That'll work. And your range of income during that 5 years, 4.5 months?
The bulk of it was $118,000 to $171,000. And then the last 6 months, Joe had gotten a promotion and I took a job in a new company, and that pushed our income to $240,000.
Whoa! Woo! Look at you. Way to go, guys. Okay, but 5 years and $265,000, is that your house?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Way to go, weird people!
Thank you.
Incredible. How old are you, weirdos?
I'll be 38 on Thursday.
And I'm 36.
You know, I paid for a house.
Yes.
You're weird. I love it. Very cool.
What's the house worth?
Like 220.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. How much you got in retirement accounts?
About 180.
Yeah. So you're bumping a half million right now in net worth.
Mm-hmm.
On your way to be a millionaire. It's probably by the time you're 45 or 50. Way to go, guys. You're killing it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And with this income, probably 45.
Was there other debt in here, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
What kind?
So cell phones was about 2,000, credit cards 2,000, cars 20,000, 150,000 in student loan debts.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. And then 91 for the house.
Okay. Wow. You guys are impressive. You plowed through a bunch of stuff here. All right. Tell us the story. What happened 5 years ago that got you guys on this journey, and how'd you hook up with this Ramsey stuff?
So I've heard of you. When I was in college, one of my best friends mentioned that her brother followed your program, and then I started seeing you on the news with your little segments, and then I would be driving and see your billboards, and I'm like, okay, well, he's probably got something there. But then it was December 2016, Joe and I were getting our tax refund stuff around, all the things we could write off, and at the time it was $2,500 in student loan interest that you could write off, and mm-hmm. so we, you know, compiled all our student loans, and we realized we paid over 10 grand that year just in student loan interest. And in that same moment, Joe said, just so you know, at the time we just had one child, but he's like, just so you know, I want us to pay for our kids' college. And I was like, you're nuts. Like, we're going to still be paying on our student loans till we're 50. And he's like, well, whatever, we're doing that for them. I said, well, then we need to get our act together. So I ordered your book right then.
Huh.
I read it in 2 or 3 days. I relayed the information to Joe, and we were game on.
Total money makeover.
Yep.
Here we go. Just all the stuff coming at you, and then all of a sudden you went, oh, I need that Total Money Makeover book now.
Yep.
Sounds like you annoyed yourself into this plan. You're like, this Dave guy and all the student loan interest. You're like, fine, I'll do it.
Well, I feel like maybe I was just too immature to actually listen, you know. So, but once we, you know, grew up right in that moment and decided to, you know, follow your plan works if you follow it. So,
So Joe, when she comes to you, she starts reading this book, and she's trying to kind of give you the Cliff Notes version and go, this is what it says. Were you resistant?
I was Dave-ish.
Uh-huh.
You know, and stopping the retirement and, you know, saying no to everything and, and budget. And I was like, you know, we can dabble. We can see what happens. And then as we started to get the loans in order and the debt snowball, then I was gung-ho.
Yeah, well, you kind of saw it. You saw it start to click.
Yeah, and I was all in.
He would pull out our spreadsheet almost every day and be like, okay, like if we could just knock this one out and, you know, a month earlier, this, you know, he was always looking for ways to speed up the game a little bit. So we're both competitive. So having that goal and beating it, that was that was fun for us.
Well, the traction is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't have that vision and that goal, you're going, why are we doing this? You got to have that piece of the pie, the piece of the puzzle to go, now I'm angry, and like you said, where else can we do? We got 200 in margin. What if we had 500? How could that speed it up?
Exactly.
And it becomes a little bit addictive.
Yep.
Very. In the process, in a good way.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you tell people the key to getting out of debt is?
I think changing your mindset first. Debt is so normal in our society. I mean, I was going to order a shirt online, and I noticed you could sign up for 5 interest-free payments of $4. I'm like,
thank you, Klarna.
Yes, exactly.
Klarna. Sounds like something's caught in your throat.
Yes. So just changing your mindset that debt is just a part of life. It is for so many people, but it sucks, and it takes away from a lot in your future. So changing that mindset, and then also believing that you're deserving of a great life. And just following your plan. I mean, truly, if people just follow your steps, they work if they work them. So,
there's a lot of shame and guilt and arrogance that we carry around when it comes to money. When you can just be an adult, look in the mirror and go, it ain't pretty, but we're going to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in control.
Yep.
That changes everything.
Exactly.
So proud of you guys.
Way to go, you guys.
How's it
feel to be completely free? No house payment, man.
It's amazing.
It's surreal.
Y'all are whacked.
What do your friends think about all this?
They're happy for us. They've encouraged us, you know, said they're proud of us, and they probably think we're weird, which is fine.
You are. Normal's broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys aren't broke. I mean, you got serious net worth, not a debt in the world. What's the first big thing that you guys want to do now that you don't have a single payment?
We're taking the girls up north to the UP in Michigan for a whole week and, you know, experiencing God's country up there. So
yeah, it is, it is pretty up
it
there.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, our own Courtney's husband is from up there.
Yeah.
And Courtney was actually an anchor up there, a news anchor up there for a while up in Traverse City. And
beautiful. Then
very pretty. Meg Meeker's up there, too. So, yeah,
yep.
It's a beautiful area.
Very.
Yeah, that'll be a fun thing. The Upper Peninsula, UP, to you Michigan people.
Yes. Lingo.
So, it's like, okay. Hey, guys, way to go.
Thank you.
Very fun. We're
Thank
very
you for
proud
everything.
Of you. We love seeing people like you. You're an inspiration. You're amazing heroes. So we've got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story for sure. How Ordinary People Built Extraordinary Wealth, How You Can Too. It's our latest number one. We got a one-year subscription to Financial Peace University. If you haven't been, go through it. It's the brand new videos with George and Dr. John Deloney and me and Rachel. And we'd love to have you do that or give it to somebody that needs to get on this plan, one of the two. Or buy it for somebody and you go through. I don't care. Whatever you do. And we've got a copy of Total Money Makeover for you to give away, too. The book that got you started. So
thank you.
Very, very well done. All right. You brought the kiddos. What are their names and ages?
Okay. So the oldest is Logan. She is 6.
All right.
This is Layton. She is 4. And Lane here is 2.
All right. The beautifuls are in the picture. Oh, that's so
Sweet
fun.
Family. There we go.
That is so right fun. Look at there that. That's great. That right there is a good why.
Absolutely.
You guys have changed their lives. You've changed their family tree. They don't even know what you've done for them.
No, but we'll remind them. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm reminding them right now. They can watch this video over and over.
That's right.
The price that their mom and dad paid. Live like no one else so later you can live and give like no one else. So their dadgum college fund got that's what got this whole thing started.
Oh, yeah.
Is a discussion over that. So that's beautiful. Well done, you guys. You're amazing. Very well done. So proud of you. All right, it's Joe and Jordan, Logan, Layton, and Lane from Battle Creek, Michigan area. $265,000 paid off 5 years, 4 months, 13 days, 118 to 171 to 240 income. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Three, two, one.
We're debt-free! Woo! Go, Logan.
Woo! Got some pipes.
She brought it, man.
Wow.
Well done. Woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah.
I'm loving this trend, Dave. We're seeing a lot of people in their 20s, 30s paying off their homes early. They're
getting on the verge of being baby step millionaires already. I mean, they're setting themselves up. But here's the thing. That little girl is old enough to remember the oldest one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the little four-year-old, but certainly the oldest one, Logan. The weird day that her weird mom and dad came to this weird place in Tennessee and screamed they're debt free. And she'll be a grandma someday telling her kids that have $10 million each where it all started.
That's a legacy worth leaving.
That's called changing your family tree. This is The Ramsey Show. Joining us, America, George Camel, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Katie's with us in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Katie. How are you? Katie? Are you there, Katie?
Hi, Katie. Yes, I'm good. How are you?
Great. How can we help?
So I'm $27,000 in credit card debt. I've used up 100% of my credit, dug myself a hole, and I don't know how to get out.
How old are you?
I am 32.
How much do you make a year?
I gross 83.
Is this the only debt you've got?
It is.
This is awesome. I'm so glad you're here.
This is a good problem to have with this income, Katie. We can clean this up fast. Is it on one card or multiple?
It's on 6 different cards.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
Biggest one being Discover, $12,000.
All right. And you clearly want to get out of this. How'd you get into it? What'd you spend the credit card money on?
Just transitioning over from one job to another, paying my way.
Bull crap.
Got into debt. Yep.
Bull crap. You did not spend $27,000 transitioning from one job to another.
I started out that way, and then it kept growing.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an addiction.
Yeah.
I had a problem. Kept spending
you spent $5,000 transitioning from one job to another, and you're disorganized and you overspent buying crap you can't afford for the rest of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So I want to make sure that we at least change the behavior, because we can help you get out of debt. I just don't want you back in this mess, you know, 2 years from now. And so what I want you to do is cut up the cards. We're done with those. You're going to list out the debts from smallest to largest. So the smallest credit card debt to the largest one, we're not looking at the interest rate. We're not going to do math right now. We're going to work on progress and getting rid of this debt. And so how much could you throw extra at the credit card debt if you're making minimum payments on the rest?
So that's the issue I have. After I'm done paying all of my bills, each paycheck, I had $10 left the day I got paid.
You make $83,000.
Where's it going?
All bills. So
No. You told
mom,
us that was your only debt. Stop. You told us this was your only debt.
Bills like for house, you know, my rent.
How much is your rent?
$800 a month.
That's not it.
And then electric and stuff is $450.
Mm-hmm.
My son goes to a private school, so
there
that's $550 a month.
Are you married?
I'm not. I'm a single mom.
Okay. All right. So the first thing is this. The grasping the idea that personal finance is 80% behavior, it's only 20% head knowledge. And so behaviors are what got you into this. New and healthy behaviors are what will get you out of this. Is that logical to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so what you're going to do, we're going to put you into Financial Peace University and help you. That is a 9-week class, 9 lessons. And we're going to teach you every detail about handling money. And I'm going to give it to you for free. It's usually about $100 to go through it, okay? I'm going to give it to you free because
okay.
I've been where you are, scared and didn't know what to do. And you're scared and you're by yourself trying to raise a kid and you don't know what to do. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to use that fear not as a paralyzing agent to paralyze you, but I want it to use you as the driving agent that says, I will never be here again. I will pay any price. I will sacrifice anything. I will do whatever it takes so that me and my kid are never on the doorstep of financial terror like this again. No matter what it takes, I'm getting out. No matter what it takes, no matter what Dave says I gotta do, and my friends think it's weird and it's uncomfortable to me, I'm doing it anyway because I'm never gonna be here again.
Right.
You got that? This is your halftime speech,
yes.
Okay? It's halftime and you're behind. We gotta get you to win the game. You can do this.
I gotta get there.
But you can't keep doing what you've been doing. So George is right. Are you going to cut up the credit cards? All of them. No exceptions as soon
yes.
as you get off the phone. Say yes and mean it.
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
Good.
I love it. Along with that, we're going to send you every dollar and the premium version. It'll connect to your bank. This is going to be your budgeting app. This is going to be your roadmap. This is going to tell you where you can and can't spend. It's your permission to play. And so once you set that up, along with watching the Financial Peace videos, it's going to give you a sense of control you probably never had because you're paying attention to every single dollar that's coming in from that amazing $83,000 income, and we're going to put it to good use. And every expense that is not necessary for survival is going to go away for a short period of time.
No lifestyle, no eating out, no vacations. We're cleaning this mess up because we're sick of living on the edge of terror the rest of our life.
Right.
You can eat out later.
We stopped eating out. Yep, we stopped eating out.
Yeah. Well, something's wrong with your budget. Which something's wrong with your budget.
Yeah.
Because you're not, something's missing in what you're telling us, which makes me think you're not really doing a good detailed budget. I think this stuff is still happening to you, but I want to teach you to happen to it. So every dollar has an assignment before the month begins. You make $83,000 a year. Is our stop your retirement temporarily. Do you have retirement coming out?
I do.
Stop it temporarily today. I want that money to go towards this debt. I want you to get where you... $10 is not okay left over.
It's not.
That's the definition of terror when you're by yourself. And you have to look in the eyes of your baby. And you're scared. And you know, you're just, you're walking around with this 300-pound weight around your neck. I want to get it off of you. And so, and I don't know what else is coming out of your check, but if you can stop it, stop it. Anything you can stop, that not your health insurance, keep it. But, oh my goodness, and any scorched earth, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, utilities, and other than that, kiddo, you're getting out of debt. Because if you didn't have a stinking payment in the world and you had a budget where you were making your money behave instead of wondering where it went, your life would be completely different than it is right now. And we hadn't even moved you towards building wealth yet.
Right.
You're going there, though. Okay. Now, you promise me you'll do this stuff if I give it to you free?
I promise.
All right. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to call back and tell us how you're doing. I want you to call back if you get any questions, if you're scared, you feel like you're by yourself, you're not. We're here for you.
Thank you.
You can do this. But I got to tell you now, if you don't do it, I'm going to kick your butt, okay?
Okay, deal.
We go to Dallas enough, Dave might find you out there. We'll be there for Smart Conference. You know what? I want to send Katie a ticket to Smart Conference as well. Can you do that, Austin?
Yeah. Let's, we're going to be there October 22nd. Maybe we can get to meet her.
I would love that.
That'd be awesome.
We'll arrange that.
Yeah, and that'll give her some encouragement all day long in every area.
That event will,
of her life.
It'll,
yeah,
light a fire under me. I mean, that, yeah, event is just...
I take notes from every speaker on that. I love that thing. It's some of the best speakers and teachers in the world, and I sit in the audience and take notes every time we have one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, folks, you can do this stuff. It's hard, though. But you got to be different than the world. Be not conformed to this world. You got to be weird. That's why we always yell at these people. These young couple paid off their house a while ago. You're debt free. You're weird. You guys are weirdos. People think I'm calling them names. I'm not calling them names. That's a huge compliment when it comes from us. Because normal sucks. Normal is broke and scared. Making a lot of money and having no idea where it went. Normal is you work your whole life and you retire and social insecurity is supposed to take care of you. The government, which is well known for its ability to handle money, is your source. Come on. Come on. It's ridiculous.
And this toxic money culture is a terrible measuring stick to look at your broke friends and go, well, I think I'm doing okay because I'm doing as
culture,
good as my friends are.
This toxic culture, period. You can't look at the normal person's marriage and go, I want to be like that. No, because most of them don't have good marriage. They're not doing the right stuff. Most of them don't have good mental health. Most of them don't have good careers. You know, you don't want to be normal.
God did not put you on this earth to be average.
There's a reason we look up to people that are winning in an area of their life. It's because they're winning. You know? It's because they're doing good stuff. They're making a decision to sacrifice. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it yields a harvest of righteousness. You can do this stuff, folks. And Katie can do it. And we're going to love her so much that we're going to encourage her, and we're going to kick her butt. Both.
Both are
necessary.
Whatever
we got to do to get her to go get it done. And that's because we love her.
Whatever it takes.
That's how it works, man. That's how it works. This is The Ramsey Show. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future. Not so fun fact, America has a $1.6 trillion student loan crisis, and it's out of control. I'm George Camel, host of the Borrowed Future podcast, where we uncover the underbelly of the student loan industry and show you what you can do about it. It'll inspire you to see that it is possible to avoid student loans and graduate college debt-free. Listen to Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.